Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Nasdaq Dorsey Wright podcast for the week ending on December 16th. We're recording this, at least I'm recording about midday on Thursday, December 15th. My name is Ian Saunders, and we're joined as well again today by Will Gibson. Will, we're seeing a pretty interesting day so far for major equity indices to cap off a pretty interesting year from what we've seen. I mean, at the time of this recording on Thursday, right around midday, we have the S&P down over 2%, the NASDAQ down over 3%. So kind of pretty sharp pullback after some of the Fed talk earlier this week. But I think a lot of what we wanted to dive into and talk about is maybe not necessarily taking a look at some of those individual movements on a daily basis, but more so how we've seen a movement throughout the past couple of weeks, and as we look toward the end of the year, how that performance kind of relates to prior years. And really, I think the question that everyone wants to know is Santa going to give us any presents this year?
I certainly hope so. I think we need it maybe this year more than any other year.
I think that would be pretty accurate. Yeah, for sure. I think that within our daily report that we publish each day after the market closes, we try to put some timely content out there, some timely content around specifically kind of prospecting related things that could work well conversationally. And one of those conversational pieces that, I mean, I've heard a lot talked about in other financial news and media is the Santa Claus rally, right? Mm-hmm. It's a classic, the Santa Claus rally that looks at the market returns in, I believe it's the 7-day trading period from the end of Christmas into the new year. Is that right?
Yeah. It's the last 5 trading days of the year. And then the first 2 trading days of the new year is the technical way that we've looked at that Santa Claus rally.
Okay. And so for that period, that's going to run us from, I believe, the 26th through the 30th?
Well, if you're doing that math quickly, maybe. I don't have a calendar pulled up, but last 5 trading days and then first 2 trading days.
It will be the last week of the year. I guess the last 5 trading days, so it'll take into account that. So Monday off, but regardless. Run through, I think, the 30th that's ending there, and then the beginning of the new year starts in that new week. But we tend to see pretty strongly positive returns, certainly earlier on, but notably more positive returns for the S&P 500 and major indices when compared to just other prior 7-day periods, right?
Yeah. I mean, it is significant. I mean, the Santa Claus rally, the data that we have here, and we can put some of these charts if you're following on around YouTube, or like we mentioned, we put this in our report. This was back on December 8th, if you want to go reference the piece. But we were looking at data, let's see, since 1957. So since the S&P 500 became the S&P 500, before that, you had the S&P 90, of course. But since it was the 500 constituent index, December's positive about 74% of the time. Excuse me, Santa Claus rally is positive 74. I think December's actually around that as well. But we'll Santa Claus rally, yeah, we will get to that in a sec. Santa Claus rally, you're positive 74% of the time. Median gain of about 1.1%, 1% or so. Your average, if positive, so if Santa Claus rally, Santa comes to town, drops gift for Wall Street, whatever it may be, you're up about 2% if positive. Average if negative is about 1.6%. So even in just those 2 figures, you do see a bit of a positive skew for the Santa Claus rally.
Certainly. And I think another kind of interesting point is, I mean, Santa is, as you said, we're coming into a year where we definitely need some presents from Santa to kind of wrap up the year. But we pinpointed or pulled out a few of those data points to show years where taking the Santa Claus rally period and years where the S&P finished the year down 10% or more. Mm-hmm. Prior to today's move, I think we were down around 17% on a year-to-date basis so far. Actually 16.17% prior to today's move for the S&P 500. Yep. On a year-to-date basis through market action on through December 14th. Right. So maybe we get back above 10% by the end of the year. That would certainly be remarkable if we go from the October lows to wrapping up the end of the year with a single digit negative return. Would certainly be something pretty remarkable. But if we don't, if this is another year that the S&P finishes down 10% or more, I mean, we're looking at some pretty notable years, other periods in there that we've seen the S&P drop 10% or more. And a lot of those had pretty solid Santa Claus rallies to kind of wrap up the year. I mean, the highest being the most recent, which was 2008, calendar year return down 38%. Hopefully we don't get there in the last couple of weeks of the year, but a pretty solid bounce to the end of the year. So there's some other pretty interesting dates sprinkled in there too.
Yeah. I mean, that's honestly, I was saying that's pretty remarkable that the S&P hasn't been down 10% or more coming in to the Santa Claus rally since 08.
That is
15 years of not being down with double digits going into the end of the year,
right,
which is a pretty remarkable stat in and of itself. But I'm looking at these data points. So what, there's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, like what, 9 or 10
mm-hmm.
years.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 2 years that during the Santa Claus rally, the market was negative. That was 66 and 77. And you mentioned average gain of about 3% when you're down 10% or more.
Right. Many of those seem much. I mean, the 2008 was the 7% rally. I mean, you got 1969, 1973, both pretty solid outperforming years. 1974, a lot of people comparing this time period to the kind of 70s time period. You had 1973 up over 6% after the market was down 17%. 74, market was down almost 30. It was up over a 7% gain during that 7-day period. So that would certainly, I would consider that a pretty solid present if we got a 7% gain at the end of the year. But I mean, only time will tell. I mean, these are all historical tendencies. These are all stuff that we're kind of relating the current environment to how we have viewed markets or seen markets move previously. And if we've learned anything this year, it's that no market environment's the same, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for certain. So these are averages that we've mm-hmm. been talking about. We were mentioning it's rare that you actually get the average number. You typically well under, well over. But I think if we need any optimism, maybe we can hang our hat and leave some of the December return tendencies, Santa Claus rally, and even broader for the month as right. we go into the back half now.
Right. Yeah. And I think that was another pretty interesting note that that you were touching on. We see some interesting differences in kind of interactions between, I mean, we've been talking about the S&P, but also the small caps too, have some pretty interesting kind of seasonal biases, specifically in December.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, specifically, you've seen small caps tend to outperform. And by small caps, we're talking like Russell 2000.
Mm-hmm. Broad small caps, yeah.
Broad small caps tend to outperform your S&P 500 for the month of December, which is no small feat. December is one of the strongest.
I see what you did there. My small feet.
I didn't even know I did that. That's brilliant. Yeah. Thank you. But yeah, so anyway, small caps you tend to see do very well in December also, but specifically like the second half of December. December gets chalked up to being a really positive month, and it is, but I think we need to be more specific that it's the second half of December that's really the most positive. So to put some numbers around that, this is for S&P first, and I'll talk small caps mm-hmm. after. So large cap S&P 500 first half of December is up about 0.06%. And this is through 2020. I haven't looked at it through 21, but very close. So about flat. Back half of the month for the S&P was up about 1.5%. So your average for the month gets closer to about 1.5% or just over 1.5% for the S&P. But if you look at small caps, first half of December has actually averaged a bit negative. Second half of December is up 2.6%.
Wow, that's a bigger, small caps. Bigger spread.
Yeah, so a much larger spread given the first half and second half of the month for small caps, and even small caps compared to large caps, also a pretty big performance spread favoring them.
And we've seen some pretty interesting movement between the kind of small cap and large cap space as we're heading into this year. And I mean, as we're talking about seeing the S&P down over 2%, the Russell dropping as well. Russell's actually kind of touching up against that trend line on yeah. the default for that Russell 2000 index, RUT for those following along on the platform. Will definitely be some pretty interesting points to continue to monitor here as we move toward the last couple of weeks of the year.
Yeah, I like that 20-point chart while we're talking about mm-hmm. RUT. I think that's been a really interesting, I think, technical story lately. Yeah, like four consecutive buy signals. It's tested that trend line many times in this recent rally, doing so again today. So that's a chart I would put on my dashboard, and we'll definitely have that up on YouTube as well.
Yeah, so it's currently through in December, S&P's down 2.08% prior to today's another 2% down move. Russell 2000 is down 3.5% prior to today's move. So
what range is this?
This is just first 14 trading days in December. 14 days, yeah, straight.
Okay.
End of November through the 14th, not including today's move. We are seeing, like we saw in some of the historical returns, a little bit more the average down for the Russell for the first part. See if we can get that average up
yeah.
to close out the year to yeah. kind of keep in line with some of these historical tendencies, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're being optimistic here.
Yeah.
So we're looking for some tendencies historically, macro, thematically that we could kind of look towards. There's plenty of negative out there. We want to go talk about stuff that's breaking down, indicators are rolling over. We've been talking about a fair amount of that recently as well.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, there's been no shortage of stuff to talk about on the negative side throughout the year. Hopefully there'll be a little bit more to talk about on the positive side as we wrap up some of these, but looking towards some potential positive indications, or at least things that we could look toward, things that we have seen and things that we can kind of continue to look toward. As we look from, okay, we're looking at just the week period, kind of taking up all out to a broader December evaluation period. Well, what about kind of looking at the fourth quarter, right? We had some pretty interesting metrics around in a piece we did back in September, looking at the election year cycles and what we typically see return wise for major indices in election years, midterm election years, looking at different years of presidential cycles. And what we saw back then was that the second and the third quarter of the second year of any presidential term, Republican, Democrat, independent, whatever political party, looking from 1927 through mid-September, the second and the third quarter were the worst average performing quarters for the S&P 500 of any quarter in any presidential term.
So second and third quarter
would have been
as president's second term,
right? Second year of that current term.
Yeah.
So that would be the second, third quarter of this year would have constituted as those, which were not great for major indices. The more interesting thing, I think, is that after that midterm year, so the second, the third quarter kind of leading up to the midterm election cycle, typically that comes in the second year of any presidential term, after midterms, and this talked about a lot, but we tend to see the fourth quarter of the second year show a solid rebound over 5% on average for that fourth quarter of the second year of a presidential term, which is the current quarter that we're in right now.
It's great. It's on YouTube as well now.
We'll be sure to put that up there too. If we look at the second or if we look at the third quarter of last year, of this prior quarter, we saw a pretty notable drop from the S&P. I mean, down over 5% over
Q3 2022,
down over 5%. So far, Q4 2022, S&P's up over 11%, not including the movement on Thursday. But we're definitely seeing some of that tendency. I mean, it play out, or at least have to show the potential to kind of play out to be in line with some of those averages that we've seen historically.
Yeah. I mean, fourth quarter of the president, I struggle to say this, the president's second year of their term.
Fourth quarter of the second year, yes. Fourth quarter of the second year of the president.
Gosh. I'll go to sleep saying that. Anyways, like 5% gain on average year. So today's coming down. Maybe we get to around 8 or 9%.
And you brought up a good point earlier on that, I mean, very rarely do we see any of the actual returns hit the average to the T, right? I mean, we're looking at almost 100 years, 95 years of data here. But there hadn't been that many presidents in the 95 years, kind of surprisingly so, because you're looking at every 4 years at the minimum. Mm-hmm. But it's still gets some pretty interesting. It's pretty consistent biases there. But I mean, 11% this year wouldn't be surprising. I mean, after today's move, going to be down a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
But certainly, I mean, still looking like it's going to be a positive quarter, at least currently.
Yeah. And that's interesting, too, because this has been a year that you look for historical precedent and it just hasn't been there for really any technical story for the most part. Maybe some sentiment stuff you could draw some comparison. So it's interesting to see that from a historical kind of technical data driven perspective, you are seeing some resemblance to weak second and third quarter, really strong fourth quarter. And then we'll see how December shakes out.
Yeah.
But blowing this up a bit more, or kind of moving further down, looking towards next year, sticking with the quarterly data first, you see the first and second quarter of the president's third year.
Which also would be Q1, Q2 of next year, potentially.
Yeah, Q1 23, Q2 23. Mm-hmm. Based off this type of historical data, would also suggest that maybe we could see some positive behavior.
Yeah. Certainly you tend to see that positive return after the midterm kind of carry over in the first half of next year, at least.
And you had a somewhat decent explanation for that I haven't heard before. What were you saying? Where it's, you get some certainty around the quarterly, or like end of quarter election.
Yeah. And I think that there could be, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons that you could kind of chalk up for some of that performance, right? But I think that any election cycle generally, I mean, the first couple of years, your president's kind of trying to find their footing, right? Uh-huh. After that midterm election cycle, you tend to have a little bit more kind of shakeout, maybe a potential divided Congress mm-hmm. like we're in now, maybe a little bit more gridlock, which markets tend to historically like. Mm-hmm. And so the market's more easily able to discern what's moving forward in a gridlock environment.
Less uncertainty.
Right. Because it is perhaps less uncertainty with hardline politics coming back into play with one party in power. That's another thing that we've looked at previously. But I mean, we'll see if any of that kind of movement plays out. I think there's a lot of other extenuating circumstances in play as we look toward next year. But I mean, it does bring up a good point that in looking at the 4 years of the presidential term, just singularly by those average performance numbers in each year, so not each quarter. Second year is typically the worst. Mm-hmm. You're up on average between a little over 3% in the second year, which certainly not going to do that this year, it's looking like, but still the worst. Third year is typically the best, up on average around 13%. So 10% spread between the second and third year in a presidential term. I mean, that would be the hope as we look toward potential movement for next year.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think those are some tailwinds if you're looking for them. Some optimism out there with Santa Claus rally, December return tendencies back half of the month like we're in now, some of the presidential terms, both quarterly and annually. Those are some things, I think, whether it's prospecting, whether it's talking with people mm-hmm. over parties coming up, or as an investor portfolio-wise, those are some trends to look at and pretty hard to ignore.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, hard to ignore, and I mean, at least say hopeful, right? I mean, everyone wants to look toward 2023 as some potential positives to keep an eye out for us. A lot of negative headlines in the news now. Maybe not as many now as there were previously mm-hmm. in the year, but all about looking toward a more hopeful environment in 2023 currently.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll mention one parting shot here. I was a bit off topic, but not too much off topic. We ran a piece earlier this month about tax loss selling. This is a great year to take some tax losses for positions that are down. So should we get some of these tailwinds back half of the month before we close out the calendar year, could be an opportunity to actually sell those tax bounce plays, you know, harvest that loss.
Yeah.
So something to consider there as well.
Yeah, certainly. A lot of tax consideration. We won't go into too much detail there since we are not qualified to get tax.
Certainly
advice.
Not. Nowhere close.
We'll try to land the plane there, as you would say, Will, with this conversation. So with that, I think we'll wrap up this conversation. So thank you very much to everyone for joining in this week and for joining in throughout the year. And we look forward to talking to you all again in the near future.